Wonderful Thanksgiving. Ate a lot, I'm sure. Hopefully eating some good leftovers, but it's all good. As Pastor Tracy mentioned, you can keep an eye out on Facebook, which is kind of a miraculous thing anyway, because I'm like never on Facebook, so if I post anything, it's like never happened. So I've been known to like, people wish me happy birthday or something, and it's like a year later, I'm like, oh, thanks. Like, I just saw it. But please keep an eye on that. It's up, potentially up to $250,000 that Facebook will match for us, which would be going to the Great Commission Fund, so it's supporting missionaries. So just keep an eye out for that. I found out about it through the Alliance, so I haven't found all the details yet because it was Thanksgiving. But just keep an eye out for that. when I was in seventh grade, I was in MK boarding school, Missionary Kid Boarding School. So we did things a little bit different. One week of the year for our junior high, we would do what was called Experiential Learning Week, which was like the best week ever because it meant that we didn't have any regular classes. So there was no math, there was no English, there was none of that. They just figured out things to do with us that was like educational, but not your normal stuff. So like we went and learned to rappel, you know, so like that was just really fun. You went rappelling, like, this is school, like, this is great. But one of the things that they did is every year the seventh graders did in this week is they had a bridge-building competition. So they had, like, little, you know, kind of, like, wood pole, like, beams and stuff, like, little tiny ones for, like, a model that you could make. And so we went and looked at bridges, and we learned about bridges, and we learned about what makes them structurally sound and all that kind of stuff. And then we had to design and make our own bridge. And then they had this apparatus that would like put weight in it slowly and test how strong your bridge was, you know. And then there was like whoever, you know, you just got bragging rights. You're like, my bridge was the strongest. So we all wanted to win this competition. And I remember thinking like, I think I've got this. This is all good. But I kind of didn't pay enough attention and I forgot to do one of the most important things, which was the main beam that goes across, you know, to like hold the weight of like, you know, a person or a car or the weight that they were going to do. I forgot to put that main beam on top of the supports. I like glued it to the side, which meant they put my bridge on there and I'm all pumped. I'm ready to go. They put the little apparatus on it. They like put like a, you know, like a pebble in and the brake goes boop. And I'm like, what just happened? And then I looked at it later and I was like, oh man, I just forgot like one of the most important things in bridge building is to put it where, you know, put it with the supports and my bridge was toast. It was just done. And so I just watched everybody else do really well and I was like, man, if I had only remembered that. And today I want us to take a look at what I think is one of the most important aspects of following God that is, in my opinion, one of the things we overlook the most and forget the most. And what we're going to be looking in and as we just celebrate Thanksgiving is giving thanks to God and truly entering into a posture, into a presence where we are genuinely thanking God for who he is and what he's done. And so to help us explore that, we're going to be looking at Psalm 136. I'm going to read that. It's a bit of a longer psalm. This was a psalm that was probably designed to be sung and like a refrain and a reading and kind of a ritualist thing that they would do, but I'm just going to read this for us. And so this is Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. His love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them. His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. and brought Israel through the midst of it. His love endures forever, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His love endures forever. To him who led his people through the desert, his love endures forever. Who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Shihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. And who gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. Now, obviously, the his love endures forever, there was probably a part where all the people would join in and say that over and over again. But the whole psalm here is really devoted for one purpose. It's to help the people of Israel to focus in on God and remember, A, who God is. So that's the beginning portion there. It's talking about the God who created everything and the God who brought light and all of this. That's the focus there, is God is designed, is to help them remember who God is. And then the kind of two-thirds of it is all explaining all the great things that God did for Israel. So even it's talking about them, you know, God killing mighty kings and stuff. All of that is about God delivering Israel from bondage and slavery and captivity and leading them miraculously through the Red Sea. All of these things. This was a psalm that would have been read and sung together to help the people of Israel to truly give thanks to God. Because they're refocusing on, they're thinking about God, and they're dwelling on who he is and what he's done. And so they would have entered into this moment of thanks and praise and truly been thanking God. This is something that I feel like we could really use. Obviously, for us, this doesn't hold as much personal significance. I didn't cross the Red Sea. But we could use something like this. Something that is helping us to remember what God has done for us and to remember who God is for us. Because, see, there's an interesting thing that happens when we focus on something. This was designed to help the Israelites focus on God and what he's done. I remember we were watching some TV, and there was a show called Brain Games, which is just all about, like, focusing or something. And they were showing us about how your brain can focus on things and how you can be fooled by what you're focusing it on. And there's this one part where they put four footballs on the screen of the same size, and they said, pick one and look at it. So I thought, okay, I'll do this. So I picked one football and I looked at it. And they're like, if you're really just looking at one football, do you notice that you can't see the other footballs anymore? And I was like, what? And then I realized, yeah, I can't see the footballs. Okay, so now they're like, stop focusing on the one football, and all the other footballs pop back up. And I was like, that is so weird. I was like, what happened? So I did it again because I lifted it on the screen, and I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, no, this is true. I was like, if you just stared at it, it's like it disappears from your vision. And they were saying it's because as you focused in on it, you were telling your brain, none of the rest of this matters, only that one matters. And so your brain just sort of like doesn't see it anymore. And then this is actually a reality. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. But you know what happens for us as we focus? The reality is this is also true emotionally and spiritually for us. See, bad things will happen in our life. Circumstances happen in our life. And as we focus on them, you know what tends to happen? They get bigger in our mind. They get bigger in our hearts. So as something bad happens, all of a sudden as I focus on it, as I think about it, as I dwell on that reality of how bad that is or how bad my situation is, that tragedy or horrible thing in my life gets bigger in my life. Because I'm focused on it. I'm dwelling on it. And so it seems like it becomes this insurmountable thing that is now all-consuming in my life and is taking over. And so I'm dwelling on that and I'm focused on that. And so it takes over. You know what's interesting is as you begin to focus on God and who he is and what he's done for you and give thanks to him, what tends to happen is that the other problems and things in our lives that are around us that weigh us down don't seem as big anymore. Because we're remembering how amazing and how beautiful and how majestic and how awesome God is. And as we get in his presence and truly thank him and remember him for who he is and what he's done, that begins to fill us and it lifts us up and it lifts our spirits up and it takes our eyes off of that thing which, now that we're focused on God, we recognize, while it still might be bad, we have God. And as we give thanks to him and praise him and remember who he is and remember what he's done, it can change us and it will change our hearts. The situation may not have changed. Whatever's going on, loss of friends, loved ones, moving away, depression, anxieties, job situations, all of that, none of the situation may not change at all. But just because we've taken the time to, instead of focusing in on that and allowing God and everything else to disappear, we focus in on God and allow that focus and that his close presence in our life to let the other things disappear for that moment and to remember who he is and to allow his amazing presence fill us and restore us because of who he is and what he's done. Because the reality is, who he is never changes. He's always good. He's always loving. He always has your best interest in heart. He always cares for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter what is going on in your life, he is for you and he loves you, and you can bask in that. Often when I am having a harder time, when life is difficult, and it becomes overwhelming, it is always because I have begun to focus more on my problems than remembering who God is. And every time that I take a moment and reminded either by somebody else or Scripture or just the Holy Spirit in my life to stop and thank God for who he is, anytime I begin to do that, my heart is lifted. Because I can't spend time in the presence of God. We can't spend genuine time in the presence of God thanking him for where he is without a measure of being lifted up as we're in his presence. Doesn't mean that all your problems go away. It means that we're refocused on him, and giving thanks to him changes us, brings us closer to him, and puts life back in perspective. Now, here many of us will say, okay, you know, I thank God, you know. Maybe you're like us and you pray before meals. And if you're like my family, and we'll try to encourage our kids to pray, it's like, thank you, God, for this food. And you're like, okay, you were talking to Jesus, remember? Like, but for them, it's just like, how quickly can we get through this? Because I already have my fork with food on it and I'm trying to put it in my mouth, you know? And so that's kind of the experience. But and that's kind of a funny picture, but I wonder, for how many of us, is that kind of how we often thank God? It's like, oh yeah, thank God, this is all good. Thanks for giving me this thing, you know. But we're not actually really we're not thanking God. It's not like we're in his presence, really looking at God, dwelling on him, in it, like with him, saying, God, thank you. Thank you for this. It reminds me of, and in fact, I think we're actually quite entitled. Like we begin to expect that God will do good things for us. You know, like because God is there and I follow God, my life should be pretty good. And so when it's good, that's just like normal. It reminds me, like, we just, you know, a couple weeks ago was, you know, Halloween and all that stuff. And we went and, you know, we love to love on our neighbors and stuff. And all my kids love to go trick-or-treating and they make out like bandits. We like fill our kitchen table. But for me, it's like this like struggle, because I want my kids to have fun and go do it. But with every house, I'm constantly like, what do you say? And they're always like, thank you. And I'm like, yeah, because I want them to say thank you. Because for them, you can see it in all these kids' eyes. As they go up these steps, they're like, you owe me candy. Like, you just watch the kids. It's like, no. In their minds, it's like, it doesn't matter if you like kids or anything or whatever. I'm coming up to your door. It's Halloween. You owe me candy. Like, I'm entitled to get candy right now. And like, so you can tell in their eyes, it's like, they're not thankful. They don't really care, because to them it's like, I'm owed this because I put on a costume and I showed up and this is when you give me candy. And so that's like their mentality. And so we're constantly trying to tell them, like, no, 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 you've got to thank them. Like, they don't have to give you candy. But like, even though I'm saying it to them, like some of my kids, they'll say thank you, literally like walking down the steps, not even looking at the person. They're like, thank you. And I'm like, that doesn't really count. Like, that person doesn't feel grateful. Like, oh, they thanked me. They're like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's a kid who's just walking away and their parents made him say thank you. Like, but I feel like we are a lot like kids going for Halloween candy when it comes to God. We expect good things from God because he's God, but not with any level of genuine thanks. We're like, if we don't get it, we're upset. We're like, wait a minute, you didn't give me my candy. And God's saying here, I didn't have to give you candy. And so we're entitled. And so when things don't go well and things aren't good, we get upset. And then we dwell on the bad stuff. And when we do come to God, we come with our list of complaints going, God, how could you do this to me? Don't you see how hard my life is? So even as we come to God, we're not coming to God with thanks. We're not coming to God where we're actually thinking about God or dwelling on God. We're still dwelling on our problem. And we're just telling God about it. It's not the same thing. See, what a psalm like this is talking about and reminding us about is no matter what is going on in your life, is to help yourself to come back to a place where you say, no matter what is happening, I want to remember who God is and give him thanks. I want to remember what he's done for me and give him thanks. Because we are entitled to nothing. We have been given everything. But we were entitled to nothing. But because his love endures forever, we have been given everything. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, just even that, it begins to lift my heart, and I go, wow, God is so good. And that helps me to then go just from a little bit of God is good to remember his other things he's done for me. And all of a sudden, it's if I let myself to truly dwell on who God is and what he's done, my heart is full of praise. My heart is full of thanksgiving. Even in the midst of hard times, even in the midst of sorrow and despair, as I dwell on God and remember who he is and what he has done, I am lifted up. And I am able to praise the most wonderful and glorious God who has done so much for me. That's why I like this psalm. It kind of shows us how we do this. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the one who created everything. Give thanks to the one who's provided for you, who's shown up in your life. And truly spend time to do so, to dwell in that place. I think we have to do some reworking of our own minds, just like I try to do with my kids, where we begin to come to God, not in a place of entitlement, but in a place where we recognize, I was owed death and damnation. I mean, we are entitled to spend eternity in hell. That's really what we're entitled to by our actions. And instead, God gives us life eternal in his presence. Start there, if nowhere else. To think of his beauty and his majesty, that his love endures forever. No matter what you've done, his love endures forever. God is good. All the time, God is good. My hope and prayer for all of us is that we are people who continually come to the Lord, focus on him, and give thanks. Not entitled, bratty children that the Lord loves anyway. Not children who never really genuinely ever give thanks. but children who recognize that we are adopted. And we didn't have to be given our status as sons and daughters, but we have a loving God. And so to come in with that fresh focus and perspective and to truly give thanks to the one who loves us. I can guarantee you that if you put into your life regular patterns of thanksgiving, of giving thanks to the Lord, like I'm talking about here, where you truly dwell and remember on the Lord, it will change your life. It won't necessarily change any of your circumstances, but you will be lifted up. Your eyes will be changed. The way you look at the world around you and their life circumstances will be changed because you will be focused on God and it will change you. So a challenge in a sense to us is every time that you are wanting to complain about your circumstances, thank God instead. Dwell on him and who he is and what he's done for you. I'm going to close in prayer in just a second, but what we're going to do is a response to today is we're going to sing some more songs. Because when we're praising God, this is one of the main ways in which we declare thanks to the Lord and praise his name. What we're going to do is, and I'll actually say, Eric, you can come on up, is we're going to have a time of praise, but I want to challenge you. Don't just sing words with no meaning. And by that I mean, if you know songs well enough, I've found myself doing this many times, you can be singing words, but your mind is completely elsewhere. Don't do that. That's not really, that's like walking down the stairs saying, thank you. Let's engage. If right now for you feel like, you know what, I just need to spend some time thanking God, like literally just talking to God and thanking him for things that he's done in my life, I want to welcome you to do that. We're going to sing, but don't feel like you have to sing just because we're singing. If you are in a place where you're like, you know what, I need to say, God, I'm sorry, I haven't been thanking you for all these wonderful things you've done in my life, and you want to thank God for them, great. If you're here with a spouse or a family and you want to just take a moment to turn to each other and say, let's just thank God, great. But we're just going to, in the next couple minutes, next couple songs as we do this, this is about giving thanks to God. And so in whatever way you feel like the Spirit is leading you, that you as an individual or as a family or a unit need to give thanks to God, I just want to encourage you, just do it. This is the response. We want to give thanks to God. We are providing you an opportunity to put everything else aside and to dwell on who God is and what he's done for you and give him thanks. So let's pray. God, we thank you that your love endures forever. We thank you that you are an amazing, wonderful, compassionate God, we thank you for all the things that you've done. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are worthy, that no one else is worthy to be slain except you, that you are the one who has paid for our sin and given us the gift of eternal life. God, we are sorry for all the ways in which we have been entitled bratty children who just expected you to do good things for us and never truly thanked you. We're sorry for all the ways in which we complain and just never truly come into your presence with thanks. God, this morning I ask, would you stir within us thanksgiving? And would, as we thank you, would you lift our spirits? We just thank you and praise you, Almighty God.